Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello there, authentic podcast listeners. I'm Jordan Dahl.
And I'm Sam Wiles.
And if we seem a little aggressive, that's because we're the hosts of Fight Island, a comedy podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place.
Each week we have on our favorite comedians to riff and roleplay about who would win in a fight between your favorite pop culture characters.
It's one part D&D, one part road trip game, and two parts roundhouse kick to the face.
It's brutal. It's funny. It's
Fight Island.
You didn't do it. I look so aggressive.
I got uncomfortable. Hello, everybody. I am Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara. This is Stand By Your Band. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing very well. I've been doing my Christmas shopping. I'm getting ready for the holidays. Don't have a microphone. Maybe I should ask for that.
Started doing the Christmas shopping on December 21st, huh?
Yep, and I am not done. I'll tell
you. All right, what'd you get me? we have a very exciting guest today, Tommy. You wanna give him a little Stand By Your Band intro?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Colt Cabana.
Hey, you didn't give me my nickname like yours is. Do you want to guess it?
Oh man, I don't know it.
Let's see.
Do you have an official one? Oh, the Hebrew Hammer.
Close.
Very close. The Hebrew. I'm feeling anti-Semitic by guessing.
I just made it up 2 seconds ago when I heard something.
You made one up that you want us to guess?
Yeah, you were the Wolf of what was it? The something.
The
of
Wolf
Street?
Of Dog Street. No, we are anti-Wall Street on this show.
Tommy, what were you again?
The Prince of Snarkness.
Yeah, I was going to say I was the hot dog of Chicago.
The hot dog of Chicago.
And you are in Wrigley Field. You're in the state. You're in the seats right now. We see it. It's beautiful. It's empty. Very COVID friendly right now. That is one of the few ballparks you could watch a baseball game live.
Well, I think they were doing it just on the rooftops at one point, right?
Yeah, but it was like maybe the only place that you could buy seats to watch the game. I mean, I think it was rooftops,
Tom,
though.
Tom, did you think those were real? Those cardboard cutouts were real people?
These are my friends.
We're going to have a real talk here.
Oh my God. I'm also perfectly framed in this poster where it looks like I'm part of it's me, Michael Jordan, and Dennis Rodman. We're the big three of the Chicago Bulls, which is nice.
Damn, once again, Pip not getting his respect. It's just, once again, he's not going to be happy about this episode.
You know, when I was a child, I was a big athlete. I loved athletics. I was into everything. I believed in the code of athletics. And I saw Scottie Pippen coming out of the Jewel Osco with a 24 pack of old style. And I was like, he drinks. I could not believe it. It was like the height of the Bulls.
Broke your heart?
Broke my heart.
Oh my God.
And then years later, when I was in high school and I was a high school athlete, I saw Mark Gray smoking a cig. And that was even worse.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't believe it. But then I was like, well, first base, he doesn't do a lot of running. I guess it's okay.
Center field, they can't smoke.
No.
Right.
No.
I had the exact opposite thing during Last Dance where I got so excited when I saw Jordan and Pippen drinking Miller Lights. I was like, they're like me.
Yeah, that was cool.
They could do what they do.
I thought it was both fun and sad to see Jordan drinking what looked to be a pint of tequila. At a time, and you'd see the glass dip throughout the episode, and It was quite shocky, but he also looked like shit. So that wasn't, that didn't make it seem fun, but nonetheless, nice to see him as a, you know, the human that he is, you know. Are you so you grew up a Chicago sports fan, Colt?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not so much. I'm a very casual, if anything, sports fan right now at this point. And I know what is the point of talking about sports on a music podcast, but hey, look, why not?
We try as hard as we can to talk about the subject as little as possible. So anything you got. We talked about NBA 2K for quite a bit last week.
I mean, if you want to talk about B96 and Z95, you know, my favorite radio stations, I could talk about those all day, but I'm happy to talk about early Chicago sports if you'd like to.
I love
it. You ever go to the B96 Summer Jam?
Do you think my parents would let me? Absolutely not. As a sheltered Jewish kid from the suburbs? No way. I couldn't go out that far to Joliet.
I remember I would hear those commercials for the B96 Summer Jam and think, like, that must be the biggest party in the world.
I was like, if I'm going to lose my virginity, it's going to be there.
Yeah. Any Tommy, do you have any radio memories?
Well, my buddy Woody Allen made a movie called Radio Days that we worked on together.
Yep. Oh, and your buddy Cuba Gooding Jr., I believe.
Yes, right? That's right.
He had Radio Days.
Man. Weren't you the inspiration for that character?
Damn. Going in on him.
At a bar, and it broke my heart.
did you guys ever call into radio stations requesting songs?
Is what I was getting at. And yes, I did. I did call into my local radio station. We had B97 in Bloomington. I'm from Bloomington, Indiana, and
better than Chicago, of course.
Of course, exactly. We had to one up you. We had to do it to them, and they did play, in fact, all the hits. And I did call in and request songs that they were already going to play. But I do remember calling in for George Strait's. I was like a big country music fan when I was a small child, and so I remember calling in and asking for a George Strait song. I think it was Check Yes or No, if that's him. But yeah, I what a thrill and what a nerve-wracking experience. And I thought people who got through were like, oh man, what it must be like to live that guy's life, just calling in and getting on the radio.
Yeah, the call-in people were also celebrities, I felt. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling in like a couple times to the sports radio station, the Score 820. Oh, yeah. And I remember just my nerves shot. The same nerves I would have later wrestling in front of 10,000 people in a Japanese arena. I had the same. I was like, oh, this is exactly what I called Mike Murph talking about Steve Buscemi getting traded from the Rangers to the Cubs.
Oh my God.
That is a lot, because you so badly don't want to sound like a dumbass. So it's really tough. I will say, just the phone in general used to give me that kind of anxiety and still somewhat does. But I remember like having to call and order a pizza and being like, what if I completely blow this? What could happen? I was very stressed out about that.
Just requesting songs from Domino's.
They did that at Pizza Hut where you could, I think we've talked about this before, where there was a deal at Pizza Hut where you could get a CD. They give you a CD that you could burn songs onto. And then you went to Pizza Hut's website and they had a library of songs you could download. And it was only like 100 songs. It was all popular shit. And it sucked. It like barely worked, and it was a huge letdown. And then I was like, oh, I could just download these illegally, and it's much easier. But this has been Pizza Hut Talk, and this show is brought to you by Pizza Hut. We are Doughboys. Oh, by the way, Cole, you were great on Doughboys. I loved your episode of Doughboys.
Thank you very much. I just texted Mitch today saying that we made Fagolovers.net the number one ICP fan website. As they were very impressed that I brought up my time at the Gathering of the Juggalos on Doughboys.
Yes.
So much so, we got headline news.
Oh, hell yeah.
We just did an Insane Clown Posse episode. I wonder if we got on Faygo Lovers.
Yeah, we got to check that out. And I think we talked about that. I loved Faygo as a kid. I was very into the Red Pop. And not in an ICP way. I just, you know, it's trashy, you know, soda. It's very good.
Yeah, I think ours was ours. Canfield, maybe that sounds familiar, like the 25 cent, and then we also had 25 cent Jewel Osco Diet Coke I would get all the time.
Sure.
But I think, right, the same aspect, that's Faygo was that to Detroit, and then the Clowns, you know, championed it.
Yes.
Who stood by ICB?
That was Sean Jordan of the All Fantasy Everything pod. I don't know if you've been on their show, but it's very fun. Very fun little show. We just had David Borey from that show, too. Guys, check that episode out. And hey, while we're promoting things, real quick, get on that Patreon, baby. $3 a month gets you bonus episodes. We just did a live battle of the bands on there. It was very fun. So get on there. I think we should talk about this this album. I think it's time. I think we burned through enough other bullshit that we can do it.
Before we start, I'd like to get your grasp on professional wrestling. Well, I don't want to lead the ship here, but I do want to know your knowledge of this when I brought it to the table, and your knowledge of the era, if any at all.
I would put mine at 0.5. I would say I know who Hulk Hogan is, and that's. I mean, I knew we had Marty on recently. We were talking about the. They aren't called walk-up songs. What are they called?
Entrance songs. Is that right, Cole? We got in trouble for this because we called them walk-up songs, and people got very upset. So. Right.
Yeah, I would say entrance music.
Yeah.
So I know a tiny bit about like that, but I knew very little about almost all of these people.
Yeah.
So, like, really nothing.
I knew a little bit only from, I was really into wrestling video games as a kid. I thought they were the best video games that, I had one on, I think, Super Nintendo that got me really into it, and then my uncle was into it, but I was more into, the people who were on this, I knew, it's Rowdy Roddy Piper's on this, right?
Sure is.
I knew of him. I of course knew of Hulk Hogan, and but I feel like the Undertaker was a big part of the era of wrestling that I would watch, and I don't think he is a part of this. I knew about Ventura, but yeah, I didn't have a huge knowledge of this phase of wrestling.
And so when it comes to wrestling songs or just music and professional wrestling, there is a long storied history. And I'm not necessarily a historian, but I do love professional wrestling and everything about it. So a lot of people say that Sergeant Slaughter had the very first entrance theme where he would play like the national anthem. And that was the first time anyone ever came out to wrestling or came out to music when they came to the ring. Some people credit a team named the Fabulous Freebirds, who Michael Hayes was trying to be a rock star, and he made music. And there was a song called Bad Street USA, which I just got the vinyl LP for. I'm very excited to hang that in my office. And then there was also a guy named Beauregard from Portland. It's a very obscure wrestler who was also like a musician in the 70s. And a lot of people credit him as the first rock and roll wrestling musician to actually put out an LP and print the music and then come to the ring with that music. So, but this era, so what we're doing is the wrestling album, and it was kind of like really MTV had just kind of popped on the scene, and WWF through Hulkamania and cable television had popped on the scene. And it was this big combination. It's known as like the rock and wrestling era. It's known as the Hulkamania era, but also rock and wrestling era, because essentially that's when Cyndi Lauper like gave her okay to WWF, and they kind of combined, and they, I would say, blew up together, but I would say MTV and Cyndi Lauper helped WWF a little more. And with that, like, you know, Vince McMahon, the genius, was like, I assume he was like, well, we're rock and roll now, so let's make an album. And then here we are with the wrestling album from 1985.
Wait, can you give us a little bit more background on that Cyndi Lauper situation? So Cyndi Lauper did what with the WWF?
Yeah, so Cyndi Lauper was a huge star with Girls Just Want to Have Fun, right? And she was like a New York scenester and I would say hipster, but probably more of a scenester. And so was one of the managers, Captain Lou Albano. He's a very notorious wrestling manager. And Captain Lou was like a real New York guy. And so I think they connected somehow. And I'm going to assume, like, I'm going back in my own time capsule, and like Captain Lou like schmoozed Cyndi Lauper. And then also Cyndi Lauper's manager at the time, I believe his name is David Wolf. I think he was a huge wrestling fan. So they all got together and essentially Cyndi Lauper kind of said like, oh, I'll come out and I'll do some stuff with wrestling. And so she got involved in WWF, and then WWF had some specials on MTV. I believe it's called The Brawl for It All, or The Brawl That Settled the Score, or one of those titles. It was a huge MTV special that got like crazy ratings. It involved Cyndi Lauper, involved Mr. T. And then also Captain Lou Albano is in some videos that Cyndi Lauper have. I believe the Girls Just Want to Have Fun video and the Goonies theme song that she did. Captain Lou is also in that music video. So it was this giant crossover that really tried to put pro wrestling into the pop culture mainstream.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was reading about that, and it's just so funny not knowing any of that. Just like, I would never have connected Cyndi Lauper with the WWE, just knowing the song Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was so interesting. And it seems like wrestling, yeah, wasn't that mainstream at that point, at least like, yeah, MTV wise. Because I was reading an article kind of about all this coming together, and they said kind of what had happened. The guy who ended up playing drums on a lot of these songs said, this is the quote, he said, all of a sudden, guys come out of the closet looking around sheepishly until we figured out that a bunch of us were wrestling fans. It was like cocaine. Nobody admits to wanting blow until somebody breaks it out and everybody's doing it.
Which is very true about wrestling. Yeah. Like, especially my childhood, like nobody in my high school liked wrestling. And then I got into wrestling, and then all of a sudden people were like, oh, I can't believe you're doing this. I love this.
Yeah.
It's really true about wrestling. That's kind of cool. That's and also wild. I'm impressed that you read articles. Way to go, Tom.
That's wild. I was reading the line you were talking about as you read it. It's this Vice, the wrestling album, An Oral History, right?
Yes.
And yeah, this thing was huge. I also didn't know that a big part of this this episode of what's this podcast you sent me, Tommy?
Oh, it's just about weird albums. There's a podcast about weird albums, and the first one they talked about this, and just yeah, I gave a little oral history of how it came together.
So wait,
Podcast of homeless people that look like Weird Al?
Yep, it's Weird Al boys.
And
Weird Al bums.
And it's pretty easy to find them. Most of them already look like it. It's very, but it's wildly popular.
Just look for the Hawaiian shirts.
I did not know that Hulk Hogan had gotten fired from wrestling by the older McMahon, right?
Yes, Vince McMahon's dad owned the WWF. Essentially, I think either fired Hulk Hogan or let him go. He went to the AWA at the same, which is a different company. And at the same time, he was becoming a huge wrestler in Japan and there, but also he booked Rocky III. That's what it was.
This is what they said in the thing, is that he got fired for doing Rocky III.
Yes, he wanted to do Rocky III. Vince McMahon Sr. said, absolutely not, we're wrestlers. And then he stuck to his guns, did Rocky III, made him a huge cultural icon, bigger than before. And then he came back and stuck it in their face, and they had to pay him way more money.
Wow. I love that. That's great. And I don't know. I think actively tried to stay away from any news about Hulk Hogan over the past like
smart
2 decades. Anytime something pops up, I'm like, no. I liked him before, and I don't really care anymore.
And you actively kept your wife away from him, also.
I'm the love sponge, they call
it. But yeah, it doesn't seem like he's a great guy, but I loved him as a kid, and I do love a story of somebody just really shoving it to somebody who tells them they can't do something like a move. The fact that they're like, we're wrestlers, you can't be in a film, is bonkers to me.
Well, it does make sense because they were on the road 365 days a year, mm-hmm. So that was going to take him out of it.
But you would think he would go, because it wasn't the first Rocky, right? Was it Rocky III?
Yeah, he was Thunderlips.
So they already knew Rocky was a hit. So you'd think having one of your wrestlers in a movie like that, which, I mean, this is all hindsight, but that's going to maybe boost, that's going to put a spotlight on your whole thing.
You would think. but also, you have to take what Hulk says with a grain of salt, because remember, he claims that he was in Metallica first.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
That's a claim. Go look that one up.
Yeah, I didn't realize he played like bass, that he was in bands in Florida, I guess, before he was wrestling. I read that too.
Yeah. Bands, you mean Metallica?
Yeah, he was in Metallica. What are you talking about, Tommy?
Yeah.
it is funny. So another part of that that podcast, and I was also noticing this listening to it, is that Hulk Hogan is not, he's nowhere to be found on this, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So not only, and I gave you a bunch of songs, he doesn't sing. His theme music is one. The song that would later become his theme music is another. And then also The Land of a Thousand Dances, which is every single wrestler. And there's a music video. He is nowhere to be seen in that music video.
We should play that song.
Yeah, let's do it.
Talk about that music video. It is one of the craziest things.
I'm pulling it up now. Give me just a minute here, because these are all on YouTube here.
Yeah, I advise Tom that we're going to start it about 3 minutes in, because that's when it starts out, and it's pretty much close to straight of a cover from the 60s song. And then about 3 minutes in, they start to make it not a cover at all and make it very much about these distinct men.
Yes.
And a lot of crazy shit happens.
I really like the sketch, like the sketchiness of this album, the sketch comedy aspects of this whole thing.
Well, it's two. It is sketchy in itself, of course. I mean, there is sketch comedy. Yeah.
Both. All right, so here we go.
The best songs, it does descend into a brawl.
Yes.
Every great band, all out fights during the music video.
I think Radiohead. Any other songs that do that?
I think Radiohead should end all their songs like that.
Like Gigi Allen, maybe? I don't know.
I think that if you listen closely to Oasis albums, all their songs end with the brothers just full on fist fighting. Speaking of Oasis, I can't remember which one of them, but it might be Liam is in the Bee Gees documentary, and it's so funny to me that he's talking about brothers in a band, and it's like, you of all people, I guess, would know, but it's weird to hear you being such a fan of this with how aggressive you are on the internet. But yeah, I think it's fun to hear them. It's fun to hear these guys go at it.
And that's that song was Land of a Thousand Dances was obviously someone else, right? Like you said, in the 60s.
Yeah. I ripped on his name. It was,
And then before you get to it, I remember like being a child and seeing the movie Fern Gully in the theaters and being like, they took the wrestling song.
Yeah. Wilson Pickett had a number.
Wilson Pickett. Yeah. Because that was a very prominent song in that movie.
Yes.
Very catchy tune. I think the craziest part of the video for me the first time I watched it was seeing Meatloaf as the drummer. Because Meatloaf, he doesn't actually play on the song or anything, but then in the video, he's there just like smiling big and drumming. And then when the brawl starts, he tosses a drum to one of the wrestlers to fight with it. So he aids in the fight.
I think he could be arrested for that. I think he did help. Wow.
In 1985/86, is that a huge get, or is Meatloaf not as big as a star? Does he become a star later with Fight Club?
Is that I feel where like that, well, that is a big get, think, yeah. Because Fight Club, I think that Fight Club, he was already very big. I don't think Fight Club was the
I know that was a bad attempt.
Was that a joke? I thought it was, and then you know, I played it safe. That's what comedy's all about.
Unlike any wrestler ever.
But yeah, the video is so wild. It's Hillbilly Jim, right, who has the pig that starts the
mean, it's a little bit of everything, my friend.
Yeah. You got meatloaf. You got a live pig. You got a guy saying New Jersey in a very funny way.
Yeah. And I did a little research on that too. Like, I think I wrestled at the place where they did that.
Really? Wow.
It's in New York. It's like the something
Hudson Valley somewhere. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I guess the stories are just like, they were up all night filming that and like no one wanted to be there. And if you see some of the real low card wrestlers are in the crowd, like in those shots, some guys that no one would ever know who they are except me, 'cause I'm just obsessed with wrestling, obviously.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But it's kind of funny that like there's such a sporadic amount of wrestlers doing that and a crowd there too. And you could tell that they filmed trick photography for it, but still there's a good amount of people there.
So that was something I read about too, where apparently they filmed all like the close-up shots of the wrestlers and all of them like singing and everything. And then when they needed the crowd shots, they kind of realized like pretty last minute that they didn't have anybody. So they like went to a radio station and just like said on air, like, hey, we need wrestling fans. And it, but of course, like, you know, however many 100 people came.
100 nervous phone callers called up, and they're like,
That would have definitely freaked me out. I'd like to be in the audience.
Don't interfere with the chair, but
shall we listen to the next song on this thing? We got six songs here, and I think you picked it. I think you picked a great six of the. It's 10 songs total, right? So I think it's a great 6 of the 10. So the next one here is Grab Them Cakes. So,
oh my God, this song is so ridiculous.
Did I hear right that this was on American Bandstand?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear Grab Them Cakes. Grab them cakes.
So for reference, right, I was 5 or 6. A little backstory to this album. I was the one in the family who loved professional wrestling. My brother did not, but my brother got this for Hanukkah. And I was so fucking pissed. I remember how upset I was. And like my brother just gave it to me, I think, because he had zero interest in it. So I was probably 6 years old at that time. And I remember being like, so like thinking I was so smart, being like, I know that they're trying to make it like Junkyard Dog is singing about food, but I know he's talking about grabbing butt.
You knew at that age?
I was a little horny kid too. So
can I tell you, you had one up on Toru Kun 1, who said, okay, who else when they were a kid thought this song was literally about grabbing baked goods? Laughing emoji. You got her ass. I'm going to say no on behalf of Colt Cabana.
Yeah, I knew that they wanted you to think that. but I knew the backstory.
These corporations wanted you to think, they wanted you to think like, oh, it's Little Debbie's. No, 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 kiddo.
Junkyard Dog wanted a piece of Vicky Sue Robinson.
Vicky Robinson, who gives an incredible performance, a very impassioned performance for the material. It's really amazing.
I mean, one of my favorite, I loved it. I thought it was a great song. I, you know, like thinking, like dissecting the album as a child, I remember thinking like, what a great 1-2. The everybody, you know, everyone wants to go first. And then in my head, like Junkyard Dog was the best singer. This was the best song, I thought.
It does just sound like a pop song that has nothing to do, like an 80s pop song, totally removed. Like it could be totally removed from the wrestling world. And it
was, yeah.
Well, of course, that's a crazy 80s song that was a dance hit, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't feel as wrestling heavy as the others. It is about grabbing grabbing asses, so I feel like that's pretty universal. that is not just a wrestling. You don't have to be like, oh, I don't like this wrestling shit. Grabbing asses. Somebody did say in the comments of this, why wasn't this a Smash crossover single? Radio that bias towards wrestling, LOL. That was it.
No need to LOL on that. That's a real card there. We're all wondering that.
let's hear some more songs on here. This next one is the one that I fully recognize because it did become this. So this is the next one is Real American. And this was not at the time Hulk Hogan's theme song, right? Because there's another song that is Hulk Hogan's theme song. And then this became his theme song, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me pull this up here. This is the only one that has a damn
dabbling on the keyboards a little over here.
They got you on the organ at Wrigley?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see here. It's not, but let me play. I'll just pull it from this. That's fine. Oh, there's an ad on this. This one's so popular. It has an ad.
Yeah. So this song was originally for Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, who were called the US Express, just like a regular tag team. And they made this song for him. It's so interesting that like this song for these guys then became like the anthem of pro wrestling.
It's a badass song. It's so good. Oh, this is going to do the whole thing. I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. Sorry, I was a little distracted during that song. I was filling out an application to join the military. that song fires you up, huh?
It wasn't even meant for Hulk Hogan. And then Hogan's song, which is just like this, which is number 6 on the album, which we weren't going to play, but it's just like an instrumental. And yeah. It's okay, but then I just recently found out, and I don't have the information. I'm sorry, I had it. It was actually like a cover of another song, like from the early 80s or something like that. It wasn't even an original. So, well, I don't think any of these are really, like half of these aren't original. This whole album, it's a very odd concept.
The Rick Derringer, who wrote Real American, I had one quote from him I wanted to read. He said, my partner and I who wrote it, when we listened back to that one, we actually cried. I remember thinking, we have written the most patriotic song of all time.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. I know. He must have been pissed when Toby Keith usurped his ass with courtesy of the red, white, and blue. That's number one now.
And then, Tom, you were talking about the sketches because they did intros and outros for all of these songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe Jesse Ventura credits this song as by Derringer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even Rick Derringer. So I don't know if he was trying to be, if that was a cool thing at the time. Like Rick was kind of too nerdy of a name or something.
Derringer is kind of cool if you're just like, I'm Derringer.
You got to roll in. Great video, too. You got, you know, Hulk Hogan clearly in front of, he's in front of a green screen playing a guitar that's way too small for his body. And just in front of various footage of, like, there's one, it's like a building crashing down, a plane falling into a building, and then like the Liberty Bell. It's so, it's very 80s. It's amazing.
I was watching the video that I had pulled up here was just a montage of Hulk Hogan moments. And it was, he looks
him
ridiculous.
Someone else's wife. Yep. In the N-word. And in Metallica.
Hold on. I want to see if I can get this up to the screen. Oh,
him
damn
throwing a dog into the lake in a movie.
What was weird is he was doing that in real life and they just caught it on tape for the movie. He's that bad of a guy.
I think it was Mr. Nanny.
Is that showing up there? I can't tell. I can't see it now. He looks ridiculous. Changed. Oh, this one was the one that was making me laugh is that they like have him. It was like they had him in a one of those fun house mirrors or whatever you call them, like where his body was changing. And it was just very funny to me that somebody would put that to this music.
No, Tom, that's what people who take copious amount of steroids look like. And tan their skin to look like hot dog leather.
The tanning, the fact that that was like, that's a cool look. It looks ridiculous.
There are so many interviews and pictures of Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, and Ultimate Warrior in real life, like on TV shows and just out to dinner in like biker spandex shorts. It's so, the time is so crazy what they wore in real life to the airport and stuff.
He had a reality show, right? Like pretty late. In the 2000s or something, didn't he?
I believe Hogan he did, because that's what best. That's where I, wait, what is it called?
Hogan Knows Best.
That's right, yeah.
I remember, like, for some reason, I have this strong memory of watching that as a kid, and there was a scene where he talks about every day when he wakes up, he splashes water from the sink into his face, and that's how he wakes up. I remember watching that and being like, that's a really good idea. For some reason, it made this big impression on me. Like, I got it. If I want to be strong, I got to start with sink water on the face. That's what I'm going to do.
I love that he's probably just hungover. He's like, yeah, I got to get that cool water on the face. Then I take a couple Excedrin and... That's so funny that that's one.
I don't know why. It's been in my
head. I would love if you like took a little bowl of water and then placed it next to your bed and like I would just wake up and get right to it, right? Instead of going to the sink every time.
See, I'm smarter than Hulk. I dump the water over my pillow and bury my face in there.
There you go.
My bed is of course filled with mold, but that's the price you gotta pay. that song did get me fired up. I gotta tell you, I worked out to this playlist today and it got me going. I wasn't in the mood at all. And that song really fired me up. That is one of the six ways to listen to music, of course.
And it's hard to say like what impact this did because wrestling has always been this like redheaded stepchild. It's just in this own corner. Like there's million, you know, like during the late '80s, the late '90s, it's called the Attitude Era. It's like they had 14 million people every Monday watching it, but still everyone was like, yeah, it's just wrestling. So it's so weird because it's such high numbers that probably love this album and this music, but in pop culture, like, is it real? Is it not?
Well, it's so weird. To its credit, I mean, it was on the Billboard Hot 200. Like it did chart. So the fact that it charted, I think, showed how big of a fan base wrestling had. I mean, it was top 150.
Outside of wrestling, do they give it any credit?
That's a good question, and I would bet on no being the answer.
The Billboard Review had a famous quote where it said, as singers, they're pretty good wrestlers. The way they panned it.
Which I would say that song is just good. Like, that's a good song.
But he's not a wrestler singing it, you know?
True. Yes. Yes. I did think it was fun to hear these guys have a little fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's hear the next song, which is, this was number two for me. I really liked the song and a very relatable song here.
Before we get to it, sorry, you said you wanted to see, you like seeing the wrestlers have fun. And the mindset of the wrestlers back then is like, they were only thinking about wrestling. They didn't give a fuck about anything else. So when they made this album, I'm guaranteeing you, they did not give a fuck. Like, it wasn't like, we need to be good at this. It was just like, oh, fine, whatever. And we'll do whatever. So they're literally like being like, you know, wrestlers are known for just being on the road and being goofballs. Probably all drugged up at this time specifically. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, they were just like, let's have fun with it and try to make each other laugh and do whatever we want.
Sure. All right. Here is Eat Your Heart Out.
Hello. Hello. Hey, it's Cindy Ann. No, who is this? What do you mean, who is this? It's a Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South. Where is she? She's going to the Rick Springfield concert. Rick Springfield?
I gotta tell you, that could be that's a real song.
Yeah,
that's a good song. I like it.
I have a lot of information for this on you.
Oh, what do you got? What do you got on me? Oh no,
for you on this. I heard you love.
Oh no, I'm finally going down. I've been waiting for this day.
So Jimmy Hart was a teen heartthrob in a band called the Gentrys. Okay, who had a number one single, and that's what he did. And then he got into wrestling in the Memphis territory where Andy Kaufman event, you know, he was one of the people in the Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler shenanigans that went on Letterman later. Yeah. And then later he went to the WWF. And so Jimmy Hart has always been about music and wrestling. And he's like the number one hype promoter guy. He's like Don King, you know, like levels of like just trying to hype shit up. So this, I'm guessing this was, hey, do you have a song? And he's just like, yeah, he just picked out a song he randomly had made. So there's a wrestler named Terry Funk who I had on my podcast, The Art of Wrestling, where I would talk to different wrestlers. And in Japan, he was such a big star, Terry Funk. They were like, we're going to give you $20,000 to make an album. He's like, I don't sing. And they're like, we don't care. You're such a hot commodity right now. Just here's 20 grand. Give us an album. And so he went to Jimmy Hart. He gave him $5,000. Jimmy Hart just like, here's 10 stock songs I have. And then, you know, Terry Funk sings them. They're awful. They're on YouTube. One of them, one of the songs called Barbara Streisand's Nose, which like, what's, why is that a wrestler, a giant legendary wrestler in Japan singing this song? It's just because it was in Jimmy Hart's catalog. Oh, and so I'm guessing Eat Your Heart Out, Rick Springfield is just something in his catalog and they just put it on the album.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know what? I buy it, but I think the guy made a hit. And I think, I mean, it definitely stands out on this album for sure. It's one of the songs that I went back to a third time because it was the song on here that most sounded like just a song. And it definitely reads as what you're saying, because I was like, that is just a jam. And I like that it's, you know, I relate to it. We all relate to that, right? Your girl is into a musician. Yeah, right. You like to listen to this guy's music? You're going to his concert? What do you want to bang him? No. You don't let your girl listen to music. That's simp shit.
And as a kid, I was just like, what does Rick Springfield have to do with wrestling? I just didn't understand. It was so confusing.
I wonder if this is like a response song to Jesse's Girl. Mm-hmm. Trying to do, you know?
I think it is. I think it 100% is. Guy's stealing Jesse's girl. Now he's trying to take the Heart Man's woman.
Heart Man, yeah.
That's no good. not getting away with it. And a lot of people in the comments here are agreeing that this is just a straight up good song. Jimmy R was in the band The Gentries. True fact, and you're welcome, Lowell. Well, guess what? We didn't need it. So you're also welcome.
Fun fact about Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart, a Caucasian man, would go to the tanning bed and live in Florida so much that one time San Francisco Toy Makers, the wrestling toy making company, saw a picture of him and assumed he was an African American and put out a doll of him as an African American. Quickly to recall it, because he was not.
Oh, well, man.
The other song was, I am an African American.
I mean, if those dolls are anywhere, they've got to be worth a lot of money, I'd imagine.
There was one, I was trying to buy it. Yeah. And it was, they were asking for $500, and I was willing to do it. Somebody outbid me.
I think $500 is fair, and any more is a crime. That's incredible. All right, let's keep this playlist going. The next song is For Everybody. Let's find this one, For Everybody. Wrestling. This will take me just a minute. I apologize.
So this is also a remake. I don't know if you knew that or not.
And the original lyrics were "fuck everybody," right?
So I kind of want, as you hear it, that was the original. Rib was Roddy Piper was one of those people who didn't give a shit about anything, and so you can hear him kind of trying to say "fuck everybody" in this song.
Yeah,
and that was like
it does sound like he says it too.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear this. I think he's got a good voice.
Roddy Piper was the best.
I really liked his voice. I think it's fun. I think he kind of sounded like Randy Newman a little bit from like the Toy Story songs. I like it.
So imagine if Randy Newman did cocaine every hour on the hour.
Buddy, that's that all I imagine.
Toy Story would be a lot better.
Just that fuck everybody's story, I think, is just so fun that I wanted to include it. This is another one where I was just like, why aren't they singing about wrestling? It kind of confused me a little bit as a kid, but I guess because it was Roddy Piper, like, I guess they could do whatever they want. But also I didn't know it was a remake. So like in my head, I just figured there would be all the songs would be like, I body slammed him. I elbowed him. Here we are.
That is when you pitched this and you just showed me the picture of the album cover. I was picturing just a bunch of songs that were like, chair to the head.
And you're to blame.
Wrestling Al. I think that's the album. I think you got to make this. I think it's on the table. It's right there. Has anybody made anything like this where it's just wrestling parodies?
Oh, I think there's some weird shit out there. There's got to be, right?
I mean, not weird shit. I mean, a good one.
Well, I did the Art of Wrestling went like straight for 8 years, and now it's kind of like seasonal, but which is my podcast. And every week I would do a song of the week. And at first that sounded great, but then after 8 years, I was like, I had to find these songs about wrestling. And so there were some deep dives in there, some very obscure and weird songs, including Barbra Streisand's Nose.
I was looking at those lyrics earlier. They're really wild. I need to find that song later.
Yeah, wait. Do we have some of the lyrics? Do you have it pulled up?
Yes, I do.
I feel like I got to hear some of these lyrics about Barbra Streisand's nose.
Yeah, these are. This is Terry Funk's Barbra Streisand's Nose. Okay. I was listening to my radio late last night when I heard a knock on my door. I went to the window and peeked outside. It was a girl, about 5'4". She said she saw my name on the bathroom wall. So she said she thought she'd give it a try, unlock the door and invite her in. It was then I realized she had Barbra Streisand's nose, Liberace's smile that drives men wild, and Barbra Streisand's nose.
Oh, okay. So it's not such a shot at Barbra Streisand as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, the last line is, have you ever seen a nose like Barbra Streisand's nose? And it is in all caps, which makes me want to listen to the song more.
Later, I believe Jimmy Hart put that song out on his own album also.
That's insane. The more we're talking about it, maybe it's just one of those things where the more I hear it, the more that I think I heard it before, but it does sound kind of familiar. And now I do want to hear it. Maybe we can listen to it later after we hear
Patreon
this
exclusive.
Song. Yes, not a bad idea.
Patreon exclusive where we just play somebody else's song.
We're basically doing that already.
We'll just charge you $3.
Yes. Not far off.
We will just play full. Hey, you know what I like is that Frank Ocean album. Let's just play it on the Patreon, just in full. We don't talk at all.
Or we play everyone but Metallica. So we don't want to get sued.
All right, let's hear this last song on this playlist, which is Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy from Hillbilly Jim. And I want to point out, this comes after a sketch where Ventura's pissed off. Is that right? That he's pissed off that this is supposed to be a rock and roll album. What the hell is Hillbilly Jim doing here? And boy, does that piss Hillbilly Jim off. So he belts this one out. Oh man,
Another one of my faves.
It's true. He's right.
I found a good Hillbilly Jim quote about this song from that oral history. He says, "The first time I read the lyrics they sent me for 'Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy,' I said, 'Oh man, this sucks. I don't want to do this. It's hokey as hell.' And then I found out they got the guy who played the fiddle in Deliverance to do my music. So I went in and did my thing." It's a beautiful story.
Hell yeah.
I think it's hard. I think it goes, and I think it's good.
I don't know if it's iconic because just like that was his entrance music and it was played over and over and over again, or if it's like good. I don't know. You tell me.
I just got a glance at this other thing from this Rolling Stone history of this album, and Hillbilly Jim says, "I was on board with it immediately."
contradictory quotes from Hillbilly Jim.
He says, "Here's why: the whole goal in those days was to get to the WWF. Those guys were cutting edge. They were the first starts doing things with pay-per-view and merchandising. This is a funny story. One time we were at Notre Dame University, and Pat Patterson came in with a stack of papers. He said, 'Hillbilly, I got some legal stuff for you here. Did you get some woman pregnant or something?' I said, 'No, man.' So he hands me the papers and goes, 'Look at this.' And there was a check at the bottom of it for $87,610.76. The first merchandising check off the Hillbilly Jim action figures. He was laughing his ass off. I was so happy. I knew to stay where my bread was buttered. So when they asked me about the album, of course I said yes. I didn't even... I didn't... I don't think they even knew I had musical ability until later. Oh,
that seems like that jam. Sums up the whole album, I feel.
Oh, hey, he has a show.
Wrestler, do a song. Yeah, all right.
I didn't know that he had a Sirius XM. Wait, everybody still knows my song. Oh, he had a Sirius XM Outlong Country Radio show.
He had a show for years, yeah.
I did not know that. I didn't know that was him. That's wild. I know people who worked on that show. That's crazy. Damn, I didn't know it was him. That's wild. Anyway, that's very funny that completely opposite statements from Hillbilly Jim there. So
he was also a giant corporate man, which you could tell in that quote. And so he was happy. He's one of those guys happy to be there, happy to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We should take a quick break before we.
Good call. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back with more Stand By Your Band.
Hi, do you have Patreon? Well, for only $3 a month, we will play an album for you.
We're leaving it in. Hello, we are back with more Stand By Your Band. We got a couple more things here to do for you guys. One is, now that we've listened to the playlist, and what a playlist, very fun to listen to. We got some, you know, comments from the Peanut Gallery. We went to, you know, the people from Patreon and our Facebook and Twitter who have comments about this album. We do have a lot of wrestling fans who listen to this show, so I'm curious to hear what they'll have to say. John Bilancini says, whose current entrance theme does Colt consider to be the best? Colt's is very good. Boom Boom Colt Cabana gets me hyped every time.
Oh, current theme song? There's two guys named the Briscoe Brothers who I really enjoy. They're in Ring of Honor. And also AEW is the promotion that I wrestle for. We're on TNT every single Wednesday night. Check it out, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. And there's a Mikey Ruckus is the in-house music producer and music maker. And there's a team called the Best Friends. And I really enjoy their theme music. I think he did a really good job. And my theme music is done by Kid Russell, who is a musician himself, and I recommend you check out his music also.
Hell yeah. What if you were the first one to walk out to a podcast? Do you ever think of that, making history that way?
You know, it's so funny you say that, because I'm such a stand-up nerd and comedy nerd that I was trying to think of like how I could do it where they like talk about my credits in my music. You know, like, it's so awesome when like I go to like a show and they're like, you've seen him on Conan, you've seen him on whatever.
Yeah.
I would be like, you've seen him as the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. He has been on Doug Loves Movies. He's welcome.
He does colleges and, right. And
oh, he is. But I mean, I say that, you know, on television, I don't really need that. But when I do these shows in auditoriums or VFW halls, and it's just like local people who are just here to have a good time, sometimes they don't know you. And it's the same idea of comedy. It's like,
oh, brother,
I would love, you know, we would call it getting over in wrestling. So it's like, if I could get over before I even get out of the entrance, I'd be a made man, and no one else is smart enough to think about that. So I'd be a genius.
It's not bad. It's not. Or if somehow you could have like just a, I think the way to do it is if you had like a video screen with a montage of like TV shit that you've done, or like just cool stuff you've done. And then people are like, oh, this guy must be good. That's exactly what the intro is. Except for with comedy, you can't do it, because they'd be like, oh, we're just watching him do stand up where we're going to do that in a second too.
Right.
But if it was you just doing some cool shit to a guy, I feel like people would be like, oh, this.
Well, they have
sick.
That for the entrance.
That's true. That's some, true.
Some videos,
but it's true that you want like your accolades as well. I hear you. Although I will say that as a comedian, people, I think there is something to when people hear like, oh, Conan, like they might perk up a little bit, but a lot of times people don't even hear what's being said. It goes in one ear and out the other. We have more comments here. Ron Trimbath says, grab them cakes has some of the most hilarious lyrics I've ever heard aloud. Cakes means ass, right? Not sure what that has to do with wrestling, but it's very funny. You're right, Ron. You're not wrong. Here we go. Jess Tabor says, Tom and Tommy, you are the real Americans for bringing this glorious 80s delight to our ears. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Well, what we am I, think. Chopped liver here? I'm the one who brought it to your ears.
Sorry, the people have spoken.
The Chicago hot dog man.
That's right.
You don't talk to the Wolf of Dog Street like that. You get the fangs. all right, let's go to the Tommy, you want to go for the Twitter?
Yeah, we just got a couple on the Twitter. Brian Breslau said the music is fake. Make a little wrestling joke there.
It's predetermined.
Josh Austin said, normally I try to guess who the comedian defending it is, but this could honestly be any of them.
Yeah, funny. We have a lot of comedian friends who love wrestling.
Ran out of friends, held up a picture of himself with the vinyl and said, this one, no way Jared hates this masterpiece. Do we not get
no Jared? Jared had no comment this week because he just didn't know anything about it. So he didn't want to comment.
Wait, you went to jail and
Jared is.
And it does feel like going to jail.
The submaster himself.
The owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, Jared Thompson, often gives us voicemails shitting on whatever artists we're talking about, but he did not have any thoughts today. In fact, I messaged him and all he said, I said, have you heard it? He said, no, I haven't. And then he left it blank. He did not continue. So
yes, because I felt me and Marty Rosa have pitched this show to the Bloomity Comedy Attic many times. And we get a big no thank you every single time. So
you are going to jail and talking to Jared.
Yes, that is part of it. You get one phone call and it is Jared. why are you in jail? John Rosenberger says, eat your heart out, Rick Springfield is a legitimately very good song. I said it earlier, brother. I agree. David Rader says, that album is the only logical conclusion to wrestling and cocaine's rocky marriage in the 80s. Very good. Aaron Kaplan.
I feel I made 7 cocaine jokes for that to hit.
Yes, yes. Aaron Kaplan says, I love the Jesse Ventura promo on Rick Derringer. Marty Archibald says, wake me up when you do the second one. Oh, there's a second one?
Oh, yeah. Pile Driver.
Ooh, we're going to have to end with that.
I think we got to have a sequel. I think we got to have a sequel. Andrew Durso says, good, but can't hold a candle to WCW Slam Jam. Interesting. John Rosenberger responded to that with partial to ECW Extreme Music, my own self. Shannon Norman says, Netflix has yet to release a comedy special that is funnier than the cover of Land of a Thousand Dances on that album. I fully agree with you, brother. But that's more of a shot at Netflix specials. I kid. Joe List has a great one. Nick Scott Silverstein says, I'm a pro wrestler. And Nikolai Volkov once showed up as a guest at a birthday party show. People do rent out wrestling schools and have people put on a show for the kids. Not that kind of show. Just wrestling, please. Don't think bad of this. Perhaps I've gone too far. Nikolai ended up wrestling on the show in his sandals, socks, and slacks. Great guy.
Rest in peace.
Great story. Connor McGrath says, Pile Driver with the Wrestling Album 2 is the rare sequel that surpasses the original. Somebody's agreeing with him here. Ben Marr says he's correct. Pile Driver's amazing. Ben Verbeck says, I always wanted to know what Junkyard Dog's partners, you know what, that he was going for when he would GRABTHEMCAKES. There we go. On a related note, I know how to spell grab them cakes before I could read. I knew how to. The last one here is from Josh O'Neill, who says, main takeaway, if you're thinking about messing with a country boy, don't. True. True.
If you've ever seen the movie Deliverance, you'll know why.
That's all the comments here, and that means we are down to our final segment here. And this has been a fun listen. I'll say it right off the bat. But Colt, before we review this playlist, you get to give your final... your final thoughts on this album?
Final thoughts are, I mean, this is nostalgia for me. So, you know, it just brings me back to a time where there was no coronavirus, where there was no dissension in the political ranks. There was just me, a dreidel, and snow in Chicago, and some hot dogs. So WWF 80s is my favorite. It just brings me back to my childhood. I love everything about it. And this really sums it up. It's just the ultimate wrestling. It was just all these great characters. And this album is about putting these characters in a different medium to the world. It was probably the dumbest thing ever, but to me, it was so much fun. And I really love it.
Fair enough. That was great. Great summation. I got to say, I agree. It takes me back to a time before this election was stolen. And, and you could believe in this country that we live in. No,
Hulk Hogan would never wear a mask.
I want a video of Hulk Hogan ripping off a mask the way that he would his shirt. I really enjoy this. This was a very fun listen. Having said that, the songs that I really liked here were Real American, Eat Your Heart Out for Everybody. I loved those, like, legitimately. And I had fun with Grab Them Cakes, too. I think I'm going to go with a solid 4 out of 6 here. I think I enjoyed it enough, giving it that it is a novelty album, of course. There are some real songs on here that were actually really fun, and I'm rating it as such. So 4 out of 6 for me. What do you got, Tommy?
So what's so crazy is, I never watched wrestling as a kid or anything, so I have no nostalgia for it. But also, I truly had so much fun watching these videos, and it's just so, like, it so captures the 80s, and, like, it's just this insanity. And, like, none of these songs, like, are bad or annoying. You know, they're all, like, fun. Like, Grab Them Cakes, I genuinely love. I think it's so silly, and I want to put on at a party at some point, but hopefully not encourage anyone to do that. I don't know. Yeah, I want to go high. I'm going to even go a little higher. I'm going to go 4.5 out of 6.
I love it. So Cole, you get
to rate it too, Cole.
Yeah, you get to rate it too. What do you got? It's out of 6. Although, do whatever you want.
50 out of 6.
Yeah, that's fair. You're allowed to do that. Rating, that's a high average that's coming out too. Cole, thanks so much for doing this, man. Is there anything you want to promote before we get out of here?
Yes, I would like to promote the wrestling album, which is available.
Where is it available? I don't even know if it's available.
It's not on Spotify.
No. Yeah.
Really? Oh, man.
Only YouTube.
I'd like to encourage people to track down random music in wrestling. It's really a fun wormhole to go down. Wrestlers from Jerry Lawler have put out albums, and Exotic Adrian Street, the Beauregard, is something that's really kind of inspirational. And there's just so many different things. Also, who's the guy, American Idol, the Simon whatever his name is?
Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell, you know, saw that wrestling was so hot in the UK that he produced a WWF album in the UK and made so much money off of it. So there's a lot of history and bizarreness when it comes to music and wrestling. But for me, follow me on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm on TikTok. I don't use it that much. Ooh. At Colt Cabana. But I do have a Twitch, and I really enjoy going on, and it's a lot of fun. Colt Cabana on Twitch. And my podcast is The Art of Wrestling, and my website is Colt Cabana. And if you want some merch, it's Colt Merch and ColtMerch.com. And that's it. Thanks so much.
Hell yeah. Check out Tommy's Christmas album. It's not too late to get it for your family.
The last week where it would make sense to get it.
Tommy, I have a solution for your Christmas shopping woes. just give everybody your album. Just burn it on a CD.
My parents and siblings would love that.
Do that, or here's another gift idea: get people the gift of the Patreon, where you can hear the album for free. By which I mean $3 a month. It's the best deal in town, and you can hear once we get to either. We're still figuring out, but we're gonna do another live Battle of the Bands on the Patreon, because we had so much fun doing it before, and you can get that on that Patreon, like we said. And that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks again, Colt. This was so fun, man. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. And have a good holiday. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.